Brothers and sisters, young people, dear young people, it's a blessing to be together like this. Thank you for your, I got a few questions in, and thank you for that. One young brother showed me a list in the back of his Bible of, back in one of the study helps, of a whole list of attributes that God has that also the Holy Spirit has, a bigger list than what I had. So that was interesting. I would like to get that list myself. And there was also another note that came in, a question about if there could be one more addition to that list of names of the Holy Spirit. Remember that list of names I gave? And the question was, would the spirit of adoption fit there? And I looked that up this morning. I thought, I think he would fit there as good as some of the others would. So Romans 8:15, the spirit of adoption, I think would also fit. The Holy Spirit cries, Abba, Father, in our hearts. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation in your word of your will for us, Lord. And thank you that you haven't left us here alone without your help. Father, and you become very personal to us. Father, and we pray that each one of these young people could find that personal relationship with you in their own, the quiet of their own heart. Lord, that would meet the need, the cry, the longing that each one has. Father, we do pray as we say that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, not just once, but again and again as needs arise. Father, we desire that in our life. Lord, we desire that we would walk in the Spirit, that we keep our hand in yours and not wander off from you, but stay close to you. And in that place, we could be fruitful and not sin and not live according to the flesh. Father, bless me now as I seek to share more on this huge and holy subject of the Holy Spirit, Father. Bless us these moments here together and bless the hearts of the hearers here. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In seeking to prepare for this subject, I read a few books, good books. Most of them were Anabaptist books. And I appreciated those books. They were helpful. I found some parts inspiring there. But also then, I went into the Word of God, and I looked up every reference in the Bible that talked about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and just went through those, and it was about 600 verses that talk about that in the Old and New Testament, and that affected me more than those books did. A longing in my own heart to have more of the influence of God on my life. I just feel like that my life is so shallow. I feel like that there's way more that the Lord wants to give. And this longing came up in my heart that I want more of God in my life. I want more of this fullness of the Spirit. I want more of His power in my life. I feel so weak, so inadequate. I think it's good to feel weak and inadequate. I don't think God ever wants us to get to the place where we feel like that now we've arrived, now we can do it, now we can handle it. I think He always wants us to have our hand in His and leaning hard on Him. But His strength flowing in us and filling us for what the need is. So the title this morning is The Influence of the Holy Spirit. The Influence of the Holy Spirit. And I want to do this morning with you, attempt to do at least a little bit of what I experienced. And that is to go through the Scriptures, and we won't cover near all the Scriptures. I tried to pick out key ones and just look at what happened to people when the Holy Spirit came upon their lives. What did it do to them? What did it provide for them? And that hopefully you can experience a little bit of the longing that I did. And you can make it your prayer as well. Lost my thought there. Anyway. and that faith would rise. You know, that's what happened to me, I believe. God did it for them. He can do it for me. And if God helps him in that situation, he can help me in my situation. So that's my heart this morning here. So we'll just flip through the scriptures and look at various things. And this morning is not so much application. That'll come afterward. But it's more just viewing the landscape of the scriptures and viewing what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon people. And we'll see how far we get. I don't know how it'll all go. So let's start back in Genesis. Turn your Bibles to this, to Genesis 41. It's the story of Joseph here. I often pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm not seeking for some manifestation, but I'm just seeking for God to empower me to serve Him. And I believe God wants those prayers. God desires those prayers. And it's not for show. I think that's where we can get into a lot of trouble is when it's for me to look spiritual. But I believe God is honored when we pray that prayer, not so we get any honor and glory, but so that we can be fruitful for Him. God honors that, and God will provide those sincere prayers. So pray often for the Holy Spirit. Story of Joseph here, Genesis 41, 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such an one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" So I don't know what this heathen king knew about the Spirit of God. I don't think he knew a whole lot. But there was an aroma about Joseph that I think came from the anointing. You know, when the holy oil had an aroma. And I believe there's something that oozes out of a person's life when the Spirit of God is upon that person's life. And Pharaoh could sense that. Pharaoh could see that. Something was different about Joseph. There's a spirit about Joseph that is holy. And what was Joseph given by that? Joseph was given wisdom, right? He was given the ability to interpret dreams by the Spirit of God. He was given wisdom to rule there in Egypt, there under Pharaoh, by the Spirit of God. Turn over to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, here it talks about Bezalel. Bezalel was the one that built the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle and all that stuff there, the candlestick, all those things. He must have been a gifted man, was he not? I mean, imagine just hammering out that candlestick and all those things. He must have been an amazingly gifted man, right? Well, was he? Maybe he had some natural giftings, I don't know. But here in Exodus 31, verse 3, it says, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." That came from the Spirit of God. God supernaturally enabled this man to do those amazing things. And in chapter 35, verse 31, it says again, "And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." God filled Bezalel with the Spirit and gave him wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to craft those amazing pieces. That was 35, 31, the second reference there. The 70 elders in Numbers 11. Numbers 11 is a story there where Moses, I believe, is getting overwhelmed with his responsibility, right? Imagine leading several million people and the complaining people they were, the difficulty that'd be to lead those people. And Moses is overwhelmed. And in Numbers 11, God leads him to call 70 elders to help him. Or God calls 70 elders. I'm not sure how they chose them exactly there. But it says here, Numbers 11, verse 17, "And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the Spirit which is upon thee," Moses, "and put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Verse 25, "And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. So God came down and put a Spirit, the Spirit that was on Moses, on those elders, and that gave them what? It gave them the ability. It gave them the anointing, the authority to lead with Moses and to help him bear the burden. It wasn't that these were just so gifted men, as it was that God enabled them by the anointing of the Spirit of God to fill that capacity. And they prophesied. That word prophesy there in the Strong's means to speak or sing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Numbers 27. These men didn't naturally possess what it took, but the anointing gave them the ability to lead and help Moses. Numbers 27, verse 18. The story of Joshua here. The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua. Moses is about to die. They're about to cross the river of Jordan. And Moses is transferring leadership to Joshua. But Joshua needs something to be able to fulfill that capacity, does he not? What might it be? Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. So he had the Spirit in him already. And lay thine hands upon him. And you don't have to turn here, but in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, it further elaborates that. It says in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the Spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him as the Lord commanded Moses. The ability to lead came from the laying on of hands and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was in Joshua even before the laying on of hands. He had been walking with God. There was a reason he was chosen for that. But there was a fuller anointing that God gave him to fulfill his responsibilities. And I might just say here, Brother Benji was talking to us yesterday about our inhibitions. Remember that? I'm just not that type of person. And we do have our tendencies, and we may not ever completely become different in some of our tendencies. I tend to be timid. Public speaking was very difficult for me in school. I dreaded going up front and saying poems. It was one of the hardest things of school for me. It was going up front and sharing a poem in the program. But the Lord can help us with those things. The Lord can change who we are. And that's what I want to say to us here is well, you know, if you feel weak, you feel timid, you feel unable, God can change you. By the Holy Spirit, God can make you into a different person, as we'll see here a bit later. Turn to the book of Judges. There's a number here in Judges. Judges 3, verse 10. We might just kind of blitz through a number here in Judges here. Judges 3, verse 10. This is the story of Othniel, Caleb's younger brother. Remember Joshua and Caleb? This was to be his younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, Othniel, and he judged Israel and went out to war, and he delivered, and the Lord delivered, that's a big name there, I'm not sure what it is. Anyway, I'll skip that. The king of Mesopotamia into his hand. His hand prevailed against this man. So there, the Spirit of the Lord came upon this judge. And through that anointing, there was a power that gave him authority to lead the nation of Israel, deliver them from under this heathen king. Story of Gideon is very similar in chapter 6:34. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him. So Gideon was also a timid man. Remember, he was scared to go out there and pull down that his father's idol. He was timid. He was unsure. But through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he became a powerful judge in Israel. Jephthah, the story of Jephthah in chapter 11:29. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. and enabled him to deliver people out, deliver his people out from under the hand of heathen people. He was one of those people that would not naturally have it, right? He was born of a harlot. His brothers kicked him out, and he was this nobody out there. But with the anointing of God in his life, God raised up a leader in the man Jephthah. Samson also, and he didn't do so well. I think he could have done a lot better. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. It was not that Samson was naturally so strong, was it? No, it was that there was anointing upon Samson's life. He was a chosen vessel that God was raising up to deliver his people. And I think Samson could have done a lot better. I imagine the leader he would have been had he walked with God as he ought to have. Imagine with that kind of anointing on his life, the leader he could have been. I feel he did a lousy job in a way of it, though God used him. But it was through the Spirit of God that he had strength to deliver his people, and to the extent he did. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon, began to move him at times in the camp. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent that lion as he would have a kid. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he slew 30 men. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, mightily upon him, and he broke the cords on his arms. Just different times that Samson, through the Spirit of the Lord, was able to do things that he naturally could not have done. Turn over to 1 Samuel now, chapter 10. First Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. This is the anointing of King Saul. We heard this morning that Saul started out well. He did. Look at this verse 6 here. And this is when Samuel is anointing him. He was out looking for those donkeys, and he runs into Samuel. Samuel anoints him with oil there. He was probably totally shocked that this was happening to him. And he says, go, and he tells him what's going to happen. A series of events is how it's going to unfold. You'll be going back, and you'll meet these people. Your donkeys are found, and they're going to prophesy. These prophets, a company of prophets, are going to meet you. And look in verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and what? And shalt be turned into another man. God can change us by His Spirit. God can empower us with abilities that we don't naturally possess, and actually change us into where we're doing things that we otherwise could not have done. I think Saul naturally was kind of timid. Remember, he went and hid in the stuff there at one time. He was kind of a shy fellow. Even though he's big, he was shy. Big people can be insecure. And he kind of was. But then the story unfolds there, and that's exactly what happened. He prophesied among them. And then later on, in verse 11, it says, chapter 11, verse 6. The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard the bad news that their one tribe was facing there with those enemies. They're going to gouge out their eyes, I think. And something rose up in Saul, this timid man. Something rose up in him. And there was authority that he possessed. He blew a trumpet, and the people rallied together, and he led his people into the victory and delivered their fellow tribe there. Changed into another man. Do you feel inhibited by some of your tendencies? Do you feel like I do? God can help you overcome that by this amazing Spirit of God that can change people, that can take unlikely people and glorify God. You know, because when you have it all together yourself, when you possess it naturally, who's going to tend to get the glory? You will. But when God changes you, everyone knows that this is a work of God. How many know my brother Abner? I don't even know Abner. Is Abner timid? Far from it. Abner used to be very timid. Very, very timid. I remember my father working with Abner to try to get him to talk. To get him to look at people in the face and talk. He just would mumble and what do you say? And it embarrassed my father to no end. Well, I mean, he was embarrassed about his son. And even when Abner became a Christian, he struggled with public speaking. Fear would grip him. Just he he would um, And he just these panic attacks, and he was crippled. But God can change people, can't he? The Spirit of God can change us and make us into another man. You wouldn't recognize the Abner that he used to be. And it's because the power of God can change us. How many of you have heard Brother Denny preach in a recording? Brother Denny. How many of you have heard him preach in person? Not so many. It's amazing. Wow. Is that so? It's amazing. But Brother Denny was a powerful preacher. And many of our lives here, whether directly or indirectly, are affected by Brother Denny and the anointing of God that was upon his life. It's true. In spite of what all happened there at Brother Denny's family, God used the man. But I remember hearing Brother Denny say that in Bible school as a young man, he would walk down the hall and he would keep his eyes down to the ground because he was afraid someone would look at him and want to talk to him. He was so backward, so insecure, so fearful. He was afraid someone might catch his eye and ask him a question, want to talk to him. He was so backward. But God changed him into another man. Jerry Mahore, very similar. A man that God has also mightily used. Salvation crystal clear has been used of God to work in hearts of sinners. But Jerry Mahore was also a very, very shy individual. But he became a man that could preach the word with authority and anointing. God can change us into another man. Chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, the anointing of David. And Samuel took the horn of oil, 16:13, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Something happened to David that day. There was the Spirit of God came upon him and was with him from that day forward. I believe he left that there later when he sinned there. He said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He prayed there in Psalm 51. But David, there was something happened to him there that day. David became a fearless, mighty man of valor. Never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. How was he able to face that lion, that bear? How was he able to face Goliath with that kind of faith and courage? Was it not because of the Spirit of God upon his life? Spirit of God can change us into another man. We'll have to keep moving here. There's some precious verses in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 11, 19 and 20. Also, I will do them one at a time here. And I will give, Ezekiel 11, 19 and 20, and I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I love these verses because these verses give hope. These verses give ability. You know, how can I keep God's law? But without the Spirit of God, God is able to do a circumcision to my heart to where he takes out that tendency to do wrong, and he replaces it with this Holy Spirit that enables me, that empowers me to fulfill his word. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances. God gives a power to do it. It's not that we just grit our teeth so hard. Does it take effort? It takes effort. Do we have to crucify the flesh? We do. But brothers and sisters, it's more than just grunting real hard and doing the right thing. God puts something in us that motivates us, that empowers us, that helps us. In chapter 36, a very similar verse. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. Praise God for the Holy Spirit that is able to give us the both the will and to do as good pleasure. And we have a beautiful story there of the dry bones there. We won't take time to go through all that, but it's basically a picture of this deadness, lifelessness, no life. And he says, prophesy to the wind. And there's this beginning to come together. I forget how all the order was. And then there was more events that took place. And eventually there was living beings. People stood up there that had been dead skeletons, bones scattered all over the place. And the bone came to its bone, and flesh came upon it, and life came into those bones, and they stood upon their feet, a great army. What does God say then about that? He says in the same chapter, verse 14, that the story is in Ezekiel 37. And in verse 14, it says, And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. It's a picture, brothers and sisters, of what can happen when the Spirit of God comes into a person. New life comes out. Life that was not there before begins to appear, and we begin to live in righteousness and holiness. We heard about Daniel, so much there in Daniel. We won't go into all the story there. But again, similar to Joseph, the story of Daniel, there was an aroma that came out over and over. I have here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, seven different verses. And it's the king is saying, this man has a different spirit about him. There's an excellent spirit in this man, the spirit of the holy gods. And I don't know what the king knew about the spirit of God, but there was something about Daniel that over and over in Daniel, it says, there's an excellent spirit. The spirit of the holy gods is in Daniel. And God was glorified, was he not? A couple in the Old Testament, yet the minor prophets, before we go into the New. In Micah 3:8, it says, truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. I don't know what all Micah did. I don't know the story of Micah very well there. But there was something that Micah said here. You know, God, he had a job to do, didn't he not? God had given him a calling as a prophet. But God didn't just call him and say, you got to go do this. Micah said, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord to declare unto Jacob his transgression, to Israel's sin. God not only called Micah, but God equipped him and gave him power by the Spirit of God to fulfill his calling, to declare. It's a difficult job to declare to people their sin, is it not? But Micah said, I'm full of power by the Spirit of God to do it. God is able to equip us. In Zechariah 4, verse 6, a beautiful scripture. I could talk more about this scripture. It says here in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, if you're going to accomplish anything for God, if God is going to use a person, it's not because it's going to be because that person has so much natural ability. It's because of the Spirit of God, that person yielding himself to the Spirit of God, that person saying no to his flesh, putting himself on the altar, yielding himself to the Lord, and allowing the Lord to use him whatever way he sees fit. It's by not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That is how God accomplishes his purposes on earth. There's a number of other phrases in the Old Testament that you won't find if you just do a search on Spirit or the Holy Spirit. It also talks about the hand of the Lord being upon someone. Remember the story of Elijah there on Mount Carmel? It hadn't rained for years. And they had the big the big showdown there on the mountain, right? The fire came down. And then Elijah goes to prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer, righteous man availeth much. And he prays seven times with his head between his knees. And they didn't see anything for quite some time. And finally saw a little cloud. He tells Ahab, says, Ahab, quick, get to your house. There's a sound of abundance of rain, and the sky gets black with clouds. It says, the rain's coming. Let's get to the house. You ever done that? You just make a run for it. It seemed like it's what happened there. And Elijah's in a, Ahab's in his chariot, right? And he's riding, and his horses are probably going dead gallop. And it says the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he outran Ahab, and this prophet. I mean, just going for it, and he beat Ahab to the buildings. It's amazing. The hand of the Lord was upon him there. Also mentions the hand of the Lord there. The one prophet was needing to have an answer from God. He prayed for a minstrel, asked for a minstrel to come play. As a minstrel played, it says the hand of the Lord came upon him. So it also refers to the hand of the Lord different times in the Old Testament as well. There, it seems to allude to the Holy Spirit as well. So going into the New Testament here, John the Baptist in Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 15, it says, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be what? From his, amazing, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He was a chosen vessel to go before Jesus to prepare the way before him. He's filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. We'll talk more about John the Baptist later on. But it says he was in the desert till the days of his showing unto Israel. John had a powerful anointing on his life. As he preached, people were moved. Great crowds came to hear him preach under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was bold and fearless. I mean, the leaders came, and he fearlessly told them the message. He just said it the way it was. The scripture talks about being not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So what does that mean? On the day of Pentecost, it says they thought they were drunk with new wine. And I heard I've heard brothers share that maybe it means that you lose your inhibition. You know, when a person's drunk, they're not afraid of anybody. They just say things. You know, they lose their inhibition. They lose their self-consciousness, and they're able to just do whatever they want to do without any fear. And so I wonder if it means the Spirit of God can take away that fear and inhibition that holds you back from really fulfilling God's call. John the Baptist, he had that. He was able to call things down. He was able to fearlessly speak the truth. He rebuked the king because of his wife. You know, he lost his life for it. But he spoke the truth without any fear and inhibition. There was anointing on his life that drew people as well. People went to hear him. We are born of the Spirit. I wasn't sure all the clue. There's so much here. In John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him some strange things. He says, you must be born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. We won't talk more about that. But I believe, just for briefly here, that when a person is converted, the Spirit of God moves in. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. So each one of you who are born again have the Spirit of God in your life. Now, you may be filled you may have more or less of the filling of God in your life. You may have, we may or may not have quenched the Spirit of God. We may be operating more in the flesh, but if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. So just because you have the Spirit of God does not mean that you are filled with the Spirit of God, that the Spirit has free course in your life as it ought to have. At new birth, the Spirit of God moves in. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 7, verse 37. Let me just look a little bit over my notes here. I may have to adjust some things. Just see how it goes. John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. You remember the story there in Pilgrim's Progress of the man that had there was a fire burning there. This evil man was trying to put out the fire. Remember that story? And he couldn't put, as much as he tried, he could not put the fire out. Then they took him behind the wall. He saw there was this man there that, with this jug of oil and this tube. And there was just this flow that just kept feeding that fire and feeding that fire. No matter how hard the world tried, no matter how much they beat the people, no matter how much they persecute, you know, that they could not quench the Spirit of God. I see this picture of the living water here is similar, that no matter what we go through, the Christian can have this inner supply of the Spirit of God that enables him and upholds him for whatever God allows him to go through, a hidden source inside of him that no man can quench, that no drought can extinguish, and that no matter what happens, you can still be, what did Paul say? Though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. A hidden source and supply that's not of ourselves. That's not of ourselves. Without it, we wouldn't make it. But with it, God sustained us. Sustains us. And Jesus says in Acts 1, verse 8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So this thing of power here that we see all through the scriptures on the Holy Spirit, a lot on power, a lot on boldness, a lot on authority, a lot on wisdom. We see that happen there at Pentecost there then, that they were cut to the heart as people spoke. Peter spoke, Stephen spoke, and they were just cut. There was their words pierced. There was the Spirit of God. As Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to convince the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And as the apostles preached and spoke, there was anointing that went to the heart. That was not just normal man speaking. The Spirit of God was anointing what they were saying, and conviction fell as they spoke. Paul said in Colossians 1, verse 29, "Wherein unto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." I love that. Paul wasn't just gritting his teeth and doing it. Yes, there was sacrifice. Yes, there was much that he endured. But he said there's something in him that was working mightily. And it was the Spirit of God. Peter there, in Pentecost, he stood up and he preached that sermon there. And the conviction fell and thousands were converted. And it happened again in a few chapters later, I believe, in chapter 4. But where do we see Peter just a little while before that? A few weeks before. He had set his jaw. He said, "I'm going to die with you." He was going to do it. You know, he's "I'm going to do this," but certain situations happened there, and it all drained out. The feelings left. And a little girl intimidated him. You know, says, "Hey, didn't I see you with him?" And Peter just wilted. He couldn't stand up to that. But here's Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, the same man, and he's preaching boldly to rulers, to leaders, challenging them, calling out their sin. What happened to Peter? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was changed into another man. The disciples also were involved here, but just a few weeks later, before, you see the disciples there, and they're all behind this in this room. Doors are shut. Why? Because of fear of the Jews. And they're all in there, they're scared, and all of a sudden a man appears and they're scared. And it's, but here the disciples are, and they're boldly preaching and speaking forth the word of God without fear. How were Paul and Silas able to sing in prison with bleeding backs and their feet fast in the stocks? How were so many martyrs able to sing as they faced fire and water and blood? How were so many able to withstand so much persecution and still remain faithful? Brothers and sisters, it's because of the Spirit of God. It's because of the Spirit of God. It's because of that inner life, that river that's inside of us that's flowing and enables us, that hidden life that no one can see, that is enabling us. It's because of this Comforter who abides with us forever. He strengthens, He encourages, He helps, He emboldens, He comforts the believer. He continues to pour that oil into our lives. He's that hidden life inside, sustaining, guiding, encouraging us along. We can be like that tree that's planted by the river of water that's green even in times of a drought. In Acts 4, verse 29, we see a second filling of the Holy Spirit. And I believe there can be second, third, fourth, as many times as we need it. God is able to continue to fill us. And as the needs requires, and here in Acts 4, they were facing some difficulties. They said, "Lord, behold their threatenings." 4:29, "And grant to thy servants that with all boldness we may preach the word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." When they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Fresh courage, boldness, and power was given. We could look at the life of Stephen there. They were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit with which he spake. And they stoned him. They were cut to the heart, it says. But he was a bold, powerful man of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's hard to know what all to include and not to include from the book of Acts. There's so much there. The Holy Spirit was very, very active in the early church, helping, empowering, strengthening, directing, multiple repeated fillings and outpourings, calling people and sending them forth on missions. You know, the Spirit said, "Separate Paul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do." They were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Philip was directed, and he's to speak to that Ethiopian man, and then the Spirit called him away. Very active in the early church there. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost at times to go certain places. So we see a lot of power, enablement, boldness, courage, and strength that the Holy Spirit gave to the early church. How it changed timid people into bold people. And it enabled them to fulfill the calling on their lives. But also saw something else. And I think they're both equally important. I saw, as I studied this topic here in the New Testament, and I can't cover it fully here at the end, but I want to cover it some more later on. The Holy Spirit not only gives boldness, courage, and power, but He also ministers to us in a very personal way. I touched on it a little bit yesterday. Some of us here have a lot of inner turmoil. I know what it's like to have a lot of inner turmoil. But I also know what it's like to find some stability in my life. And some of you are like me, like I used to be. There's a place to talk to people. We need people in our lives. Brother Benji, I heartily agree with what Brother Benji is saying. We need that relationship with people. But some of us are like I used to be, going here, going there, going to all the spiritual people I could find to try to heal my inner turmoil. And people can help us tremendously. I'm not against that. But I didn't find help from that inner turmoil in people. I found it in God. And I didn't. Did I say that it's wrong to talk to people? I did not say that. We need people in our lives. But listen to some of these verses here. And I believe that you'll find lasting help from your emotional needs in the Holy Spirit. You'll still go to people, but now you have a God to go to, a God that you know cares. You'll have a high tower to run to, and there can be a lot of stability coming to your life. Listen to these scriptures here in the last few minutes here. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That sounds to me like a settled life. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope to the power of the Holy Ghost. I should give you the references. The first one was Romans 14:17. This one was Romans 15:13. Abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts 9:31. They were walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. When God sheds His love abroad in your heart, stability comes into your life. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. There can be an inner strengthening that comes through the Spirit of God. Strengthened with might. So may God strengthen you with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I want to talk more about these things at a later date. There's a place for going to man, but it can become a crutch. I encourage you to find this peace and joy and fellowship and communion in the Holy Spirit, and that the love of God can be shed abroad in your life by the Holy Spirit. God wants to be our high tower, the place where we run to and are safe. So the message today is that God can change us. God can change us and make us from timid people into powerful people. And He can change us from insecure people to secure people. Can change us from people that have inner turmoil to people that have find rest and security in their relationship with God. The message tomorrow will be the promise is to you. And I want to apply this more personally to our lives. Not only looking at the Bible, how what happened there, but bringing it home to us. So God bless you.